You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day and another week. And it's been a good week on the JSE. It's been a good week on international markets. Here to describe the day's action and look back at a few highlights of the week is Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth. It has been a good week, hasn't it, Nick? Nice and steady.
Yeah, evening, Lindsay. It has been. I mean, looking back at, I guess, like the week that was, I mean, market is now officially shut. It's 7 minutes past the JSE close. And I think overall, not a bad week. We are just a sniff higher than when we started. We opened the week at about 67,634 on the old share, and we closed at 67,744. So I make it literally 10 points higher over the week, but a choppy week. But I will make one comment, and it's a little bit disconcerting, is the value traded. It has been almost dismal, non-existent. We can touch on it at the end of the show. Another day it was with very low volume. And that's just a bit of a concern for me, because you want to actually see sort of decent volumes as we hit new highs. I mean, all share hitting a new high this week. S&P 500 last night, new high. Euro Stoxx 600, new high. DAX hit a new high on Wednesday. But all of them, globally as well, are low volumes. So read that one into yours. Maybe you call it the summer lulls as we head into kickoff of Euro and the Northern Hemisphere summer.
I think that's what it is, and I'd love somebody to be able to look back at the seasonality of the volumes on the JSE Securities Exchange to say, right, what happens in June and July? Because I'm fairly sure there must be a correlation between a dip in volumes and the Northern Hemisphere summer, particularly Europe and North America, of course, Europe being the major factor. Oh, and of course the UK, which is not part of Europe anymore, but it must be that, Nick. I can't see any other reason for it.
Yeah, definitely. And all the dual listeds too. Obviously, we take the prices are made out of London. So with London being starting to enjoy the early openings and, sort of the COVID lockdown being released over there too, I think it's you can see it reflected here quite easily.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, S&P last night, after this week's CPI data, went to new all-time record highs. It's just dipped below the old high, the futures. I mean, nothing to be scared about, but there wasn't that enormous follow-through that you normally get when you go to a new high and there are stop-loss buying orders that are triggered. It hasn't really happened this time. It seems also just, although it's almost at a record high, it doesn't quite have the oomph that I thought it would have.
It doesn't. And this is a little bit of a concern for me. I mean, I still think the bull market's fairly intact, and obviously everyone talking about those inflation numbers, or either way you look at it, yesterday, transitory numbers that came out yesterday afternoon, pushing us up another level on these global equity markets, I'm not sure. But also for me, the US 10-year note, it's been fascinating. I mean, it's...
It's 147.
147. Like, what is going on?
What is that?
It's just bizarre.
That is nearly 30 points. That's nearly 30 points lower in yield terms than it was 2 months ago.
We had the biggest blowout of inflation in 13 years. 5%. Call it transfer, call it what you want, but the print was 5% inflation yesterday out of the US.
Yeah.
Real rates are the lowest they've been since 32 years. And the US 10-year sitting at 1.48%. It's just so many things that makes, and then throwing the S&P 500 a new high at the same time. So I don't know. It's just, I think these central banks have got to be very, very careful, because they are, they certainly paint themselves into a bit of a corner, I think.
Yes, I think so. And I wonder who's behind all this buying. It's obviously people that do believe Jay Powell and the statement that he made about inflation being transitory and not an entrenched trend. So maybe just 2 or 3 months and then it comes back again because of the base effect. I mean, it's a base effect from the lows. It'll be a base effect from the highs. And people say, well, commodities have got to keep on going at a fair old lick if inflation is going to continue higher. So maybe they're right, Nick. Maybe we're wrong. Could we possibly be wrong, you and I? Could we be wrong? Seems very implausible to me. Anything on the Stock Exchange News Service today? I'm scrolling through and I can't see much.
Yeah. No, very, very little. I mean, the diary in the US also very thin. I mean, a little bit of noise coming out of a G7 over and sitting in the coast, south coast in Cornwall. A little bit of news flow from that, but it's very, very quiet. There was some news out of Omnia this morning. And you probably touched on that. But really, nothing else. A little bit of geopolitics in South Africa, a bit of positive news. You would have heard the news yesterday with SAA being sold off. So we have a little bit of a tailwind too. A little bit of tailwind coming through for SA, long overdue. Although, like lockdown, it's off a very low base.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that the SAA story is a very good story. But unfortunately, you have to be cynical and you have to play devil's advocate and you have to say 15 years too late.
Definitely too late, but better late than never, but too late. And I think that's why you're seeing a little bit of a Rand weakness coming through this morning and throughout the session as well, just grinding low. I think people are realizing that even with this 100 megawatt new ruling on Eskom coming through, you know, it's going to be 18 to 24 months before you even get a solar panels back on stream or these sort of alternative energy sources. So we're a long way to go, but nevertheless, step in the right direction.
Yes, indeed, step in the right direction. And again, with the integration of renewable energy into the local grid, again, way, way too late. But yes, fantastic news, and it should be applauded, and well done to Cyril Ramaphosa and his team, although they've dragged their heels for long enough. So yes, okay, let's have a look at these spot prices. The dollar rand is 13.69, the British pound against the rand 19.33 on this Friday, the euro rand is 16.58, the euro dollar is 121.10, and the British pound, the cable, is 141.20. The gold price has been reluctant to hold on to 1900 this week. It's 18.84 at the moment, which is down $10 an ounce. Platinum is 11.57, which is barely changed, just very slightly weaker. What about palladium, please, Nick?
So palladium is actually up 0.41%, $11 firmer, sitting at $2,785 an ounce.
The oil price doing extraordinarily well, $70.91 per barrel.
Inflation? What inflation?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. There's no inflation. I mean, the oil price may be
transitory.
Up.
Transitory.
Yes, it's transitory. So you go to your petrol station and you say to the bloke, the bloke says, right, that's $50, Mr. Williams. And you say, no, I'm not paying that. This inflation is transitory. Go back to 2 months and drive off. West Texas, $70.91, up nearly 1%. Brent crude oil, $72.83 per barrel, which is 0.4% higher. West Texas crude way outperforming Brent crude today. I don't know if that's a change of futures contracts or if it's because of the driving season in the United States. I don't know. But West Texas really doing so well indeed. The US 10-year treasury yield is 1.469%. The South African 10-year bond yield is 8.66%. That's another really big move. And that's nearly 50 basis points better over the last 2 months. And what else have we got here? The CRB commodity index, mainly driven by the energy sector, is at a fresh near 7-year high, 225.1, that index. So it's more than doubled in 15 months, which is quite astonishing. Bitcoin, I haven't got Bitcoin up on my screen. What's that been doing?
Well, I mean, the fact that it's only moved $500 or 1.5%, I mean, even the Bitcoiners, the crypto bros, are sitting on their hands at the moment, but it's trading at sitting at exactly $3,700. That gets you one Bitcoin.
I've noticed on Twitter, and that's the only social media platform that I use, there's not many people crowing about Bitcoin anymore. There's still people that have made money, but I think there's a whole group of people that got in a little bit too late and were buying at 40, 50, 60,000 and have lost money. So there's none of that dinner party chatter of, did you see what the Bitcoin price has done? I've just bought it yesterday and already made 10%. There's none of that stuff going on.
Yeah, it has dried up a bit. Look, there's all the speculation with these meme shares. Obviously that's where all the sort of the day traders go and the Robin, as you know, I always call it the Robin Hooders, as a collective. And the Robin Hooders tend to go from the Bitcoins to the cryptos to Ethereums, back to AMC, back to GameStop and all around. So they seem to have been sort of leaving the fun and games of crypto behind. I think they got a little bit, as you said, I think some of them got a little bit burnt at $60,000. And of course, there's also been quite a bit of negative press the last few weeks with, they're held to ransom with the pipeline, a few things, getting a bit of bad press. Anyway, the meme stocks apparently where they're all at, because we had a share yesterday or the day before, I think we were speaking with David, that was mentioned on a Reddit chat room that was up 600% on the day. So they kind of look positively boring. compared to what's happening in that space.
Yeah, I'd love to know who the group is that identifies the amount of short positions there are in these beaten up stocks and identify them. I'm sure that little scheme, it's perfectly legal, incidentally, that little scheme, I'm sure people are going to close the door on that one somehow, because the hedge funds, the smaller hedge funds and the smaller asset managers who go short of these things have been burnt quite badly. Just as the Robin Hooders have made money, a lot of people have lost a lot of money as well being short.
Yeah, and I see, actually, funny enough, just while we're speaking about it, the SEC came out yesterday. One of the sort of governors from the Securities Exchange Commission, which is the American sort of call it the sort of Wall Street's police, the SEC, said they were going to start investigating the sales in some of GameStop shares and a few of them. And I think once again, they've been watching this with interest. But when you start having shares moving hundreds of percent a day, the SEC at some point, regulators are going to step in. And anyway, they're announcing that they're going to investigate as of yesterday. So watch this space.
Yes, indeed. And in thin conditions on the JSE, I presume. You'll tell me about the volume in a few minutes' time. But I'm just looking at a share called TFG, Fashini Group. They've recently come out with results. Share price up 10.5%. Huge move for a really big South African retailer. Bytes is up 4.2%. Glencore up 3.3%. Kumba Iron Ore up 2.9%. And Hammerson up 2.7%. Anything with TFG, or is it just, you know, as I said, good results this week?
Yeah, they did come out with results, in fact, results yesterday.
Yes.
Well, I mean, it wasn't like a complete blowout. I mean, if I remember correctly, they were talking about headline earnings actually falling and revenue down slightly. But once again, they did indicate that they were going to resume the dividends. So cash flow is back and cash flow is positive. And also the SA retail space certainly seems to be play. So yeah, put that in perspective too. But yeah, nothing besides the earnings, but real demand for the retailers in the last couple of weeks actually.
Yes, indeed, except for one which is coming up in a moment. MC Group down 5.4%. That's been an interesting one recently. Mr. Price down 4.1%. Motus is a 3.8% loser today. Life Healthcare has been all over the place this week with the Alzheimer's drug story, pushing and pulling investors from pillar to post. Life Healthcare down 3.75%. And Clicks, another retailer, down 3.6%. So TFG going on its own, maybe a little asset class rotation. In other words, people getting into Fashini and at the same time at the expense of Mr. Price and Clicks. Who knows?
A little bit of sector, well, certainly a little bit of rotation inside some of these.
Yes, exactly. Any other shares that caught your eye today, Nick?
Yeah, a little coal company caught my eye, which Thungela Resources, which was spun off from Anglo American, and that has been all over the place this week. I think it was up, it was down 12% on its debut when it was listing and spin off.
Yes,
up, I think 30% up the following day. And then today again up 14%. There's been a real sort of a bit of a Twitter war as well with this. You know, with those who are sort of pro sort of green friendly policies and those who are saying, well, there's still definitely a space for something like South Africa, which a majority of its energy is derived from coal. So a little bit of a war there. Anyway, the bulls won out today, up 14% today for Thungela Resources. I have that as the biggest mover on the top 40 on the all share today.
Very good indeed. Nick, give us the closing JSE indices and also incorporate the US indices, the live ones, please.
Let's go to the live ones first. So we have the S&P 500 futures are unchanged at the moment, 42.36. That is actually down 1 point on the day. Dow Jones Industrials are down 50 points at the moment, 34.413. NASDAQ is unchanged also, so really not a great deal happening. If we look at our indices today, let's start with the volume, which is the most depressing at the moment. 13.9 billion value.
Gosh,
that's very poor. Very quiet. It's poor. I mean, it's even worse than December stuff. Indices, JSE All Share, we managed to pull out into the green, which made us up. I have it about 10 points up on the week, so really nothing much going on. Quarter point higher in the JSE All Share, 67,723. Top 40 tradable index, also a 0.25% winner, 153 points higher. We managed to claw into the green by energy. That is your oil price. Energy shares up 2.93%. Basic materials were 1 0.2% winner. Techshare is also bouncing back today, 0.8% higher. And some of the laggards, we have consumer cyclicals down 0.25%. Financials were down 0.7%, but they've had a really good week. So I expect giving a little bit back. And healthcare, 1.37%. And just a reminder, once again, the dismal value traded of 13.942 billion value traded.
Yeah, I'm sure that this low volume story is like in US inflation. Just transitory because of the time of year. Nick Kunze is from Sanlam Private Wealth. Nick, thanks very much for your contributions all week. And Nick will be back with me on Monday night for the 5 o'clock shadow. And that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.